reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 1, Chapter 8, Text 20. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Tata Paramahamsanam Muninam Amalatmanam Bhakti Yoga Vidhanartham Katam Pashye Mahistriya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. You descend yourself to propagate the transcendental science of devotional service into the hearts of the advanced transcendentalists and mental speculators who are purified by being able to discriminate between matter and spirit. How then can we women know you perfectly? Purport. Even the greatest philosophical speculators cannot have access to the region of the Lord. It is said in the Upanishads that the supreme truth, the absolute personality of Godhead, is beyond the range of the thinking power of the greatest philosopher. He is unknowable by great learning, by the greatest brain. He is knowable only by one who has his mercy. Others may go on thinking about him for years together, yet he is unknowable. This very fact is corroborated by the queen, who is playing the part of an innocent woman. Women in general are unable to speculate like philosophers, but they are blessed by the Lord because they believe at once in the superiority and almightiness of the Lord, and thus they offer obeisances without reservation. The Lord is so kind that he does not show special favor only to one who is a great philosopher. He knows the sincerity of purpose. For this reason only, women generally assemble in great number in any sort of religious function. In every country and in every sect of religion, it appears that the women are more interested than the men. The simplicity of acceptance of the Lord's authority is more effective than showy, insincere religious fervor. Om Jnana Timurandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakasur Mulitam Yena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Mano Vishtam Dapitam Yena Bhutale Sayam Rupaka Dhamayam Tadati Swapadantikam Panchakalpa Tarubhyascha Yupasindu Bayevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namah Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Sri Vasadi Gaur Bhaktavinda Hare Krishna Krishna Krishna, Krishna, Hare, Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, 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 Hare, Hare. So greetings from Govardhan. I've been here for, about last week. There's a retreat. I think it's 20 years already that they've been doing this retreat. And I've been more or less attending for 20 years. It's Bhurijan and Sachinandana Swami. Excuse me, I have something in my throat. I've been going for about 20 years and at least attend one class every day. I've gone to both of them, but mostly Bhurijan's class in the late afternoon is much more conducive for me to go. And he's doing the 15th chapter of the Bhagavatam about Krishna entering the forest of Vrindavan, which is one of my favorite chapters. And his presentation has been amazing. He's really studied all the commentaries and the vividness of the vision he gives of Krishna in the forest of Vrindavan is very inspiring. We're sitting right at the foot of Govardhan Hill. And, of course, the Indian culture is that well, they don't have weddings during Chaturmasya. And that's, in the West, is exactly when we do have weddings. Maybe that's why there's so many divorces, I don't know. I never thought of that. But what it means, it's right after Kartik, because Kartik ends late this year. It doesn't give much time when the weather is good to fit in all the weddings. So I have big head ear mufflers on, but my earphones underneath, because they just blast this loud, loud, loud music. Okay, now let's get to Kunti's prayers. We've been studying the Bhagavatam. And I mentioned many times that the first canto is basically it's a summary of the history of the Bhagavatam when it being spoken three times. Sita Goswami, in response to the questions of the sages of Naimisharanya, and such a story of Vyas, Sukadeva Goswami, and Maharaj Prickett. So now he's discussing the story of Maharaj Prickett, which conveniently introduces Krishna, because they wanted to hear the glories of that he was such a great personality. He was glorious in his birth, his life, and his death. And his birth means that Krishna, at the end of the battlefield of Kurukshetra, Ashwatthama, seeking to get revenge, threw a brahmastra at the womb of Uttara, in whose womb was the last remaining descendant of the Kuru dynasty, Maharaj Prickett. And Krishna appeared and manifest within the womb. So we're kind of introduced to Krishna in telling the story of Maharaj Prickett. And now we're following Krishna and his relationships with the devotees, which is really the essence of the Bhagavatam. Where to be The purpose of the Bhagavatam is to attract us to spiritual life. And that attraction, that desire for spiritual life is spiritual life. That is spiritual consciousness. The desire for desire is a desire. So if you desire to serve, like the resonance for Dhamma, you have that desire. So we're here in the material world, the whole spiritual world, spiritual knowledge, basically, whether it's bhakti, karma, or jnana, whatever the philosophy is, one commonality is to get rid of ego, which is a self-centered concept of life, of reality. That's material consciousness. It's material consciousness is basically selfishness and the conception to enjoy and control. The Bhagavatam is meant to help us transcend that by showing us the beauty of service, the real deep consciousness and mood in the heart to serve. Service is the exact opposite of being self-centered. It's spiritual. It's selfless. It's God-centered. And we are resisting it. Just today, I was walking, somehow or other, I live on the other side of the hill from the festival. It's about a 45-minute hour walk, and somehow a car is sent to someone, but also me. But the car has to be there an hour before the evening class, afternoon class. It leaves here at 3, and the afternoon class is 4. So I get there early. I don't mind. It's really a beautiful garden by the side of Govardhan Hill. I was walking, and this very nice young girl, only 20, 22 years old, comes up to me, and very sincerely, can I ask you a question? And her question was how, it was sincere, how to become submissive. And basically, that's humility and that's spiritual life. To have that desire to serve. And of course, because we've had many false masters that exploit us, it gives submission a bad name, but the concept, the idea, I'm trying to remember something Borijan said, but the concept or idea, the happiness to be ruled by something greater than oneself, be happy that what dictates what should be done is not us and our desires. It's the will and interest of what we're part of. Anyway, why don't we like to be submissive? Because it's giving up control. And we're attached to the selfish conception of enjoyment and control, that we want the world to conform to our desires, and therefore we want the power to do so. So we don't want to be submissive to selfish reasons, even if it is submission to truth, because truth does not conform to our desires. So how do you become submissive? Well, you first have to get faith in the concept. You have to get trust in the concept that love is your interest. And there's no love without humility and submission. Because love means to be ruled by the desire of whom you want to please. So to become submissive, you first have to have faith. And faith comes from hearing the proper principles and seeing those principles exemplified in someone. And actually seeing how beautiful is the humble and submissive mood to truth. We're not talking about submission to insanity, submission to dictatorship. We're talking about submission to truth. And that's what a great man is. A great man is ruled by truth, not against one's will, but as a product of one's will. And the highest truth is love. The highest truth is love of God and wanting to serve that and wanting to be ruled by that desire. What anyabhilashita shunyam jnana karma jnavritam anukulyena krishnanu shilanam. Being ruled by what desire? The pleasure of my beloved. And that's so beautiful. That's what a great man is. Therefore, sacrifice is the mark of a saintly person. It's the mark of a sage. And it's what makes one a sage. Prabhupada gave us the Chaitanya Charitamrita. It's the character of the life force in immortality. And what's the character of the life force in immortality? It's surrender, which is taking shelter of our relationship with God and our surrender to God and surrender to God's will. We have this expression, let go, let go, let go. Let go what? Let go of our resistance to what we should be doing based on absolute truth in any sphere of life. So the beauty of that is going to be introduced now. We're being introduced to Krishna. And the beauty of people who love God, who are submissive to the will of the absolute truth and surrendered and taking shelter of the will of the absolute truth. And how that character, that love, is the highest pleasure. It's the highest truth. And it's the activity which we should place our faith in. So now the battlefield of Kurukshetra is over, and the sages of the Krishna's leaving, and now Queen Kunti, his aunt, is approaching him, and she's witnessed how great Krishna is, how Krishna protected Uta, how Krishna's inside of everything, how Krishna's outside of everything. And she's fully realized that her loving nephew is God. And she becomes inspired to express her love through prayers. Love is expressed. I always give that definition I like of bhakti. Bhakti is best expressed in seva, which is loving responsiveness. So it's a feeling that's expressed. Love is a feeling that's expressed. And it's expressed through the body, it's expressed through the mind, and expressed through the words. And when that feeling is expressed through words, it's called prayer. Prayer is a manifestation of love. And the nature of prayer is to, out of love, express our appreciation for the object of our love, the greatness of the object of our love, the tattva, the reality of the object of our love. So it's pouring out from Kunti. And we're seeing the beauty of love, the beauty of prayer. And if we're lucky, it will inspire us to pray. It will inspire us to have a drop of that feeling. That's what we want. We want more than anything else to have a drop of love. We want that in our hearts, not our selfishness, not our self-centeredness, not our anxieties, not the world based on me, but really a drop of the desire to please God. And we're devotees because somehow a drop of that desire touched our hearts. And we are convinced, just by an experience of that drop, that there is no greater happiness than that feeling. And in fact, that feeling is actually the nature of our soul. And even more than the nature of our soul, that feeling is a drop of the internal potency of God, the energy, the mood that moves towards God to please Him intensely, the pleasure of His own devotion. And it's expressed in prayers, in her beautiful prayers. And we've been studying them. And this one, she's expressing her humility because she's realized who her nephew is. And when you realize something about God, the first thing you realize is how unattainable God is by our own endeavors, by our own powers, because he's the most valuable thing. So who has the capital? No one has the capital to earn God. No one has the power to confine God to our reason, to confine God to our intellect, to confine God to our practice, to our effort. I've been making this point, and it's coming up again and again. If you think that by your practice you can earn God, you have a wrong conception of God, because what you can earn can't be God. What you can attract can be God. But attracting God and earning God are completely at different ends of the spectrum. Earning God means that you can capture God by your effort. Attracting God means you can invoke the mercy of God by your lack of qualification. Thinking you can earn God is thinking that you're qualified that you can qualify yourself for God, that you have the powers to earn God, to pay for God. And wanting to attract God means that you don't have the qualification. And specifically, that attitude of emptiness, lack of qualification, begging, can attract God's mercy. And that's really what bhakti is. Borjan was speaking a lot about this, and I feel he had some realization of it. that you have to be empty. The negative attracts the positive. Really, when you realize your abject total dependence on God, you may attract his shelter. Dependence attracts shelter. And if our practice is an expression of our dependence, the quality and quantity of our practice will help us to attain God. So Queen Kunti has just expressed the powers and glories of God, which, and this is the essence of prayer, which makes her understand her lack of qualification to understand and attain the absolute truth, which becomes her qualification, because that is the mood that attracts mercy. And therefore, she's saying devotional service, in her prayer here, it's propagated into the hearts of the Paramahamsanam, the greatest devotees, and the Muninam, the greatest minds, who are Amala Atmanam, who are competent and can make a distinction between spirit and matter. And then she's humbly saying, then, how can us women, we women know you perfectly? That's bhakti, realizing our utter dependence on God. And having that spirit emanate from our speaking, from our words, from our heart, need attracts mercy. If I'm on the street, there's so many beggars here in Govardhan, and if I see that I don't think people have need, I'm not going to give them anything for free. Why should I? But when I see they have need, then I feel like giving to them. So God gives himself to those who really feel they have need of him. A beautiful sentence by Prabhupada. The simplicity of acceptance of the Lord's authority is more effective than any showy, insincere religious fervor. Simplicity. Envision that person who has the simplicity, the beauty. Envision that person as the simplicity of the acceptance of the Lord's authority. That person who is ruled by truth, whether they are timid or whether they are bold, but they're ruled by truth, and they're surrendered to truth. And I guess what Prabhupada's saying in the purport is that this type of simplicity or of acceptance of the Lord's authority is the blessing of the general blessing of being a woman. Devamrita Swami told me that the demographic that has the highest religious sentiment are African American women and women in general. And we see that. It's not intellect. There's so many bright people that are atheists. It's more than intellect, it's more an attitude. An attitude that allows you to experience the truth. More than an intellect that will allow you to experience truth. Even, I think it's William James, he wrote the book, Varieties of Religious Experience. And he talked about faith. He says, unless a man say someone's trying to figure out, this a young man, does this woman love me or not? Unless he believes he does, she does, he'll never find out. Unless there's some faith, you'll never find out the truth. Because you won't move in the direction to experience the truth. And God being a person, he gives himself in response to attitude, not intellect. Anyone gives themselves in response to attitude, not intellect. Who are the people who know your hearts the most? The people who have love for you. And this is the essence of bhakti. Bhakti is relationship with God, which means relationship means that you give yourself to someone whom you feel loves you. It's attitude. And no power in the world can dictate that you give your heart to someone. No power in the world can force you, no power in the world can understand you. You have to give yourself. I made that point sometimes, why bhava bhakti is so difficult. It's sadula bhava bhakti is one of the symptoms of devotional service at the level of bhava, is sadula bhava. It's very difficult to attain. Because when you have love, you control someone. If you really love someone, then if they reciprocate, if they're proper persons and reciprocate, if you love someone, then they'll want to give themselves to you. That's what love means. They'll want to give themselves to you. But you don't give yourself. If you give your heart to someone, they can do, I mentioned this many times, one or two things better than anyone else. They can exploit you or they can love you. So giving your heart to someone, letting someone know who you really are deeply, is something completely in a person's hands who doesn't reveal it to one who doesn't have love. Rupa Goswami is considered the greatest acharya in our line. He because he understood Lord Chaitanya's mind, Sri Chaitanya no Bishtam, but revealed in the Chaitanya Charitamrita how he understood Lord Chaitanya's mind because of his service. Service is expression of your love. And unless someone sees that service and that spirit of service, real desire to please you, without any ego, without any sense of exploitation. When you really experience that in any relationship, that a person actually loves you, and he loves you because you've seen the expression of their service to you, then you can reveal your heart. Otherwise, you'll be too apprehensive of exploitation. So God is only revealed in bhakti, in real devotion. So it's that spirit. So even though Quinty's asking, how can we women know you? Her humility is the process to know you. And the feminine quality of simplicity, of the acceptance of authority, whether it's a man or a woman, is the attitude to no one. Just the previous verse is Krishna is hidden. Krishna 21. Krishnaya Vasudevaya Devaki Nandanaya cha Nandagopaya Kumaraya Govindaya Namo Nama. Let's just hear Prabhupada. Let's listen carefully. Let me therefore offer my respectful obeisance unto the Lord, who has become the son of Vasudev, the pleasure of Devaki, the boy of Nanda, and the other cowherd men of Vrindavan, and the enlivener of the cows and the senses. Purport. The Lord being thus unapproachable by any material assets, out of unbounded and causeless mercy, descends on earth as he is, in order to show his special mercy upon his unalloyed devotees and to diminish the upsurges of the demoniac persons. Queen Kunti specifically adores the incarnation or descent of Lord Krishna above all other incarnations, because in this particular incarnation, he is more approachable. In the Ram incarnation, he remained a king's son from his very childhood. But in the incarnation of Krishna, although he was the son of a king, he at once left the shelter of his real father and mother, King Vasudev and Queen Devaki, just after his appearance, and went to the lap of Yasodamayi to play the part of an ordinary cowherd boy in the blessed Vrajabhumi, which is very sanctified because of his childhood pastimes. Therefore, Lord Krishna is more merciful than Lord Ram. He was undoubtedly very kind to Kunti's brother Vasudev and family. Had he not become the son of Vasudev and Devaki, Queen Kunti could not claim him to be her nephew and thus address Krishna in parental affection. But Nanda and Yasoda are more fortunate because they can relish the Lord's childhood pastimes, which are more attractive than all other pastimes. There is no parallel to his childhood pastimes as exhibited at Vrajabhumi, which are the prototypes of his eternal affairs in the original Krishna Loka described as in Chintamani Dham in the Brahma Samhita 529. Lord Krishna descended himself on Vrajabhumi with all his transcendental entourage and paraphernalia. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu therefore confirmed that no one is as fortunate as the residents of Vrajabhumi, specifically the cowherd girls who dedicated their everything for the satisfaction of the Lord. His pastimes with Nanda and Yasoda, and his pastimes with the cowherd men, and especially with the cowherd boys and the cows, have caused him to be known as Govinda. Lord Krishna as Govinda is more inclined to the Brahmins and the cows, indicating thereby that human prosperity depends more on these two items, namely Brahminical culture and cow protection. Lord Krishna is never satisfied when these are lacking. Okay, I'll end for now. Are there any questions? Okay, would anyone like to say hello?
Hare Krishna Maharaj.
Hare Krishna Maharaj.
Hare Bo. Glory to Prabhupada. Just sorry to miss you here this year, but maybe next year we'll see you here.
Thank you.
Okay.
And thank you for talking about grace. I really like that topic.
Well, thank you. Anybody else like to say hello?
Hare Krishna Maharaj, it's Malati.
Malati, we need to touch base soon again. Okay.
That would be wonderful. Thank you, Maharaj. Thank you for class.
Okay. Well, thank you. Anybody else like to say hello?
Hare Krishna Maharaj, it's Hanan. Thank you for a nice class. Very inspiring.
Thank you so much. Good. Anybody else say hello today?
Hare Krishna Maharaj.
Okay. Who's that?
Gordon.
Hey, Gordon. Great to hear from you. One more say hello? Okay. Not everybody says hello. That's okay. It's my bedtime anyway. Panchakalpa Tarubhyas Jakapa Sindhu Vyevichapa Titanam Pavane.